biomass, which is individuals that go out to farmers markets and everywhere to register people to vote. And Landy manages that. So
if
you want anybody.
Busy time of the year, huh?
Oh, yes. Very busy time of the year.
And we have a lot of giveaways. These are, for example, rulers, and we give these out in schools.
How cool.
Nice.
And they have all the presidents on the back.
Awesome, thank you.
It's a nice study guide.
It sure is.
May I get one more? I have, I'm picking two kids up from school now. It's a little bit. My wife is.
Which school?
Three Oaks Academy. It's a private school off of Mockley Road. It's where the old Hodges University used to be. That's part of Mason. Is that part of Mason Classical? Or?
Well, behind Mason.
Behind Mason, yeah. You said Three Oaks. I thought you were going to say like Three Oaks, but I was in that neighborhood. So.
Okay.
I was like, oh, you live right by me.
Everybody sign in?
Yes, ma'am.
Come on in.
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing good.
So they're responsible for the maintenance of everything in here. They keep it so clean and organized, and we'll demonstrate that as we go through the building. In addition to that, they're also responsible for entering into contracts with every facility that we use for a polling location. And they do that a year before the election. So in odd-numbered years, they're busy managing their contracts with now 66 polling locations and 11 early voting locations. They build a relationship with the people that manage those facilities, and they don't just talk to them once a year. They're constantly maintaining that relationship to ensure the same people are there, or if there are any changes, make sure they're not going to be paving their parking lot during an election time when we're going to be using their buildings. They're not doing any new construction. They have keys to almost every building, or there'll be somebody there to ensure that the building is open at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we also have, for our backup, we have a locksmith that will go out. And all that information is in the contracts that we have with these facilities. And they also have a contract and manage a contract with the security company I talked to y'all about. They enter into that contract and manage that contract with the security company. We also have a contract with a moving company and they have a diagram of every polling room that shows where the moving company is going to place the equipment in the supply boxes. And what else? They do the, I talked to you about the inventory system. They manage that inventory system.
Yeah. So we have an inventory system that keeps track of all the equipment that we have. If we have a broken wheel, we log things like that. If we have anything, it gets logged. What elections the equipment's been in, what location it's gone to. If it sneezes, we know.
Do you guys own those systems, those machines, or do y'all lease them?
BCC owns them.
Yeah, the law says the supervisor of let's start. Florida Division of Elections certifies the equipment. That's the only thing we can consider purchasing. But the Board of County Commissioners are responsible for purchasing the equipment, and the supervisor of elections makes the recommendation to the board on the equipment to purchase, and the supervisor of elections is responsible for the maintenance of the equipment.
Gotcha.
So, before we were able to move into this wonderful facility, we had a different kind of facility. We had a small location down at the government complex where the courthouse is, and then we had a training center out on Santa Barbara at a county park. That's where we had a training center and one we have out there, four staff. Mm-hmm. And then we lease a 3,000 square foot warehouse here in the industrial park. And there are certain things, though, that require climate control. So we have a small climate controlled warehouse in our building at the county complex. And so for 10 years, I begged the county commissioners for more space.
The law says
they are required to provide the constitutional officers adequate space. And we have one county commissioner who just said, you've got adequate space, supervisor.
Right.
And we never did get very far with that. But then finally, this space became available. An electrical engineer in the county built this. He says he put $10 million in it. It's 2 acres, 2 buildings, 15,000 square feet. So the county, during the, he lost it during the downturn in the economy around 2008, and the county was able to buy it for $3.3
million. Wow.
And we're very, very grateful. We did time studies when I was trying to find more space, and we found that we would be touching the tabulating equipment that goes to the polls about 20 times. To get everything where it needed to be, because we kept the things that did not require climate control in the 3,000 square foot leased warehouse.
Yeah.
And then the other things down county complex. So we were constantly moving things around to get ready for an election. And we would have that equipment. Those are the tabulators you see in the polling locations.
Mm-hmm.
They would just be lined up everywhere down at our main office at the county complex.
Yeah.
Waiting for the movers to come in and pick them up.
Yeah, like storage in the hallway.
Yeah.
Do you get all the resources and everything that you need, you know, from the state in order to do your job, you know, effectively?
We have a reasonable budget. Our budget is around $4 million, a little over, a little
ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you see, you know, there are 5 constitutional offices. There's the sheriff, there's the property appraiser, there's the tax collector, there's the clerk of court, and there's the supervisor of elections. We're defined in the Florida Constitution. So when you hear the constitutional officer's budget is like all this hundreds of millions of dollars, that's all of us combined. Ours is about $4 million.
Right. Okay. So your budget is roughly ballpark $4 million, and it takes about $700,000 to $800,000 to put on an election.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was that expensive, mm-hmm. but I guess, I mean, you guys, how many voters, registered voters, do y'all have here?
We've got almost 250. It's 240-something.
Right.
I guess it's 246,000
right now. Okay. Yeah.
For elections.
Do you know what the voter turnout was here in Collier in 2020 or 2018?
90%.
Oh my goodness.
In 2020, with 67 counties. In 2016, general election, we had an 87% turnout.
Wow.
Highest in the state.
Yeah.
And in 2020, we had the highest turnout.
That's amazing. So I was with some folks yesterday, and they were sharing. They were from Sebring, and they just had a city election over there for city commissioners. And 11% turnout is what they had.
I was
like,
that's
oh my
sad.
God. I was like, that's unbelievable.
It was almost 40, just over 40%. Yeah, which is the highest we've seen. We were, I think, before that, we were in the high 20s.
Yeah.
Which is pretty average. So you usually see high 20s, low 30s for city elections. But we have 3 municipalities. The city of Everglades, they run their election in the off year. So we had their city council election in 2019.
Okay.
They have like 250 voters.
Yeah.
And it's not a very high turnout.
Right.
And then we have the city of Naples, and they will join the ballot during presidential years. So they'll be on the presidential preference primary in the spring of presidential years. And then they also run in the winter time. They have theirs in February of this year. And that was the 40% turnout that we saw, which is the highest we've seen so far.
You said you guys are having 240, but you're expecting more and more, you know, prior to that. Are you guys comfortable with the voter roll, you know, that you guys, it's accurate? And
I'll put our roll up against any roll in the country.
Yeah.
It is that accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way that you guys operate here seems, you know, to lean that way.
We are mandated to do what's called list maintenance, which is cleaning up the roll every 2 years, in odd number of years. But now the governor passed a bill
that
says we have to do it every year.
Yeah.
But yes, we have a team that works on that, and we have a very clean roll. That's one of the reasons we have such a high turnout.
Yeah.
We don't have dead wood on our roll.
Right, right. Cool.
So you can get a snack, Ron.
We have candy.
We have some cookies over there.
I'm good right now. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I will. Second thought. Thank you.
This is really depressing.
How
much longer are you
anticipating
this?
I need
to figure out.
Oh, you can take off with the move, too.
At noon, they're going
to be done. Yeah.
With the tour of the Museum.
Well, yeah. Well, with her, you know, allowing us to audio record it, I can, you know, come back.
I'm filling it out as I can keep track.
Right.
Keep
that. Wow. Yeah. Man, look at this room. Oh, my gosh. Are we allowed to take a photo of that?
Yep, you can take a picture of anything you'd like.
Oh, wow. Thank you. What's that?
I said, listen.
Just trying to take pictures. I have a couple that would really be
That's
fine. But my one view is, I'd like them to see just how this works.
How tight it is. Half and tall it is.
Yeah. And on the other hand, they could be looking for loopholes. I don't know.
That's fine. If they can see a loophole, they can bring it out to me and we'll have an answer. Or we may say, well, you're right. We need more.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I want to make the leaders happy.
Okay. So everything is labeled. And these are the numbered seals that I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The workers are trained and they have the seal on their chain of custody forms, and they check, they're trained to check this before they open the polls. And if that seal number is not the same as the seal number is supposed to be, they're trained to call us. We have little snippers. I sit, laugh and say we put in the supply boxes that they use to snip those seals.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the tabulators. The ballots drop down here, and there's a place where they can also, if something should happen and this tabulator doesn't work for any reason, then we have an emergency bin they would use until we have the tabulator. So if you walk back here with me, see those posters?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the precinct numbers, and we have 10 delivery routes, and that's what the moving company backs in here and loads everything according to those delivery routes. In 2000, we had census. 2002, we did redistricting and reapportionment happened, and the Florida legislature does the state districts, the county commission, and the school board district does the local school board and county commission districts. And we were able in 2002 to get the school board and the board of county commissioners to agree to share the same districts.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you would have five, you would have 10 different districts.
Yeah, it'd make it a lot easier.
Yeah. It made it easier for the voter, easier for administration.
And every precinct begins with the number of the county commission and school board district. So the precinct, we live in District 1, so you'll see precincts that begin with District 1 down on this end.
Gotcha.
Has a couple of fours in there.
Mm-hmm. Fours? Well, that's still their route. That's where
just the route.
The route numbers,
okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, District 4 is the district in which the city of Naples is in, but it, the new district has expanded out to this Yeah, they've taken two precincts that were in the county commission District 1. So
the route, they have a secure route. Who's driving these people that you...
Moving company.
Okay.
Their staff members drive these trucks.
So is there
And our staff coordinate all of that.
Okay. So I think, I've processed... You say moving company. So in my head, I'm like, okay, so we're going in a U-Haul.
Like 2 men in a truck?
Yeah.
College hunks, hauling junk.
But what kind of security process is behind the traveling from destination to destination on the route?
Well, they are managing it. Our staff is managing it.
So we handle most of the security stuff in-house. Each DS-200 is going to have about 7 seals before it. Each one's gonna have 7 seals.
Okay.
So everything chain of command is gonna have 7 seals. So we control that before it ever leaves and gets onto the truck. It's locked, ready to go. So it gets put to the site. We always verify chain of custody, those 7 seals, every serial number, and that's kind of it.
Have serial numbers on them, and we have a chain of custody form. We'll put the information that from when it leaves here, when it gets deployed to the location, it's either staff or the election worker that will have that form, and they will verify, okay, seal 1, 2, 3 intact, and then they can open it. They'll check all that up for us, and then we get that information back in our office to also analyze it too. Awesome. And it's stored in records.
Yep. I almost picture, this Brink trucks that go and grab money. You have somebody protecting it.
If you could find enough of them, we'll take it.
We do it through seals. Yeah.
That sounds a lot better than an armed guard that's
right.
Protecting a box.
It sounds cool.
And now, if you look against that wall, those cases, remember the electronic cobalt I showed you?
Yeah.
That's what those are.
Okay.
And so those go to, they're part of the delivery route. They go in the supplies. And then if you look at that wall back there, up there, those are the ADA equipment. And one of those goes to every home.
And what was that again? What was that machine called we saw up there earlier?
Even? Electronic voter ID.
The one with
ID.
The braille? That was,
that was express
voter, right? Right, right, yeah. Right on.
Okay.
Cool.
Down this way. We're going to be talking about vote by mail ballots. In Florida, a voter that wants a vote by mail ballot must request it.
Mm-hmm.
We do not send ballots to everybody. They have to request it in Florida. And then we mail them the package. Has anybody voted by mail here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we mail the package and it has instructions. And then we encourage voters to send them back as soon as possible. Don't sit on it until the day before election. But anyway, we're every day, once we mail ballots, we're required to mail overseas ballots 45 days before election day. So, and then we have a shorter time for mailing what we call our domestic ballots. But as soon as we get them out there, we start getting them delivered here by USPS. And we have a machine back here. It is a mail sorter. Collier County was the first county in the state of Florida to purchase this equipment and implement it. We did that in 2006, And then we were the second jurisdiction in the United States to implement this high-speed mail sorter in the country. So it was used for banks and utility companies, but then it was developed, changed a little bit to be able to be used on vote by mail ballots.
How do you guys handle like nursing home votes and things like that?
We're mandated to reach out to every one of those facilities in an election cycle and tell them that we're available to come in and talk to them about voting. And we can even do the voting of mail ballots inside the facility if they request that we do that. So we would have that voter request a mail ballot, and we would then prepare the ballots, and we would go out into that facility. When I say we, it's usually election workers and of opposing parties, and they literally hand the ballots out and have the voters vote them, and then fold them up, seal them, put their signature on the back of the envelope, mail, and we bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally controlled by us.
So the check and balance is that there is one from each party watching it.
Mm-hmm. Same thing we have to do for polling locations.
Right.
Yeah, we have to have opposing parties.
To observe it?
To observe it and to conduct it, actually.
I mean at the nursing home level.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But a lot of, not very often are we requested to vote inside, help them vote. Generally, it's...
Mail-in votes?
Yeah, the person sometimes that manages that outreach process for the facility will give us a list of their residents that want ballots.
Gotcha.
And we evaluate that. We check it to our voter roll, make sure they're eligible to receive a ballot. And then we just put it in the mail, mail it to them, and they put it back in the mail and mail it back to us. But I think that's an area that, that's an area that needs, that could be controlled better. I'm not sure how, but I get complaints from people wondering, well, I wonder how involved the workers in the facilities get in helping people to vote. Or I wonder if somebody has extreme Alzheimer, but they're still getting a ballot. Who's voting that ballot for?
Yeah, they're talking like outside influences that are helping people fill out the ballots. You can't really, that's not nothing. You guys have no control over that.
Right.
Yeah.
But what can, what has happened is we've had people call us and say, you know, my husband, my mama, somebody's in a facility and they can no longer sign. So what we'll do is encourage them to help that individual fill out a new voter registration form and help them make an X and bring it back to us. That's their updated signature.
Really?
So they can vote by mail, make an X on the back side of the envelope. And if it matches, if we have an X in the voter, it's their record, then it will match.
So that's a great, I'm glad you mentioned that. The first thing that popped into my head is, could I go back to my county and update my signature with the supervisor of election?
Mm-hmm.
And when, and let's just say I requested a mail-in ballot, got it, filled it all out, and I signed it with a big X and let's just say a Y next to it, and you know, sent it back, and that's how I filled out my new registration card. So that X and that Y on my ballot matches the signature that the supervisor has, so they're going to count that?
If you updated your signature with an X and a Y, yeah.
But it doesn't have to have my name on it or anything. It just say my signature is X. And, signature. Even though my name is Michael.
Your name. Your name is going to be on that envelope.
Yeah.
But we're going to pull up your signature record.
To match it with what you guys have on file.
And it will match.
Yeah, well, that would be one way that I think, you know, could potentially limit, you know, any type of, you know, irregularities in the mail-in ballot process. You know, if people were aware that, hey, you know, yeah, you can sign your name on here, but if you're really concerned, you know, that your vote might not count if you voted through mail, I don't think people know that. I didn't know that. You know, that you could do something like that. That's interesting. I appreciate you sharing that.
But what you're going to see back here is how we manage the vote by mails that are delivered by the post office. And one of the things that this equipment does, it sorts. It's a mail, high-speed mail sorter. And so we ultimately sort all of our mail ballots by precinct number. And but there are some processes that go into that. And so when they are first delivered from the post office in their long white mail trays, those are run through that equipment. And the first thing it does is it takes a picture of the signature on the back of the envelope. So there's an image.
Yeah.
And after, then what happens is those envelopes are placed back in those white mail trays. And our staff goes to their respective desk. And we have a software that will bring that image that was just taken up on their monitors, and your signature of record comes up. And they're responsible for matching those signatures. That's why I say we get training before every election cycle.
Yeah.
And if the signature matches, they press one key. If it's questionable, they press another key. Then when they finish that, the operators of the equipment come back, they take those same envelopes, run them back through that scanner, and it will outsort those that have a questionable signature. And we used to do that manually. And then there's a whole process to that. They're not automatically rejected. There are more eyes on those envelopes. And yeah. They ultimately will go to the 3-member canvassing board. They're the only ones that can reject that.
Mm-hmm. And that's you, the county chair, the commissioner, and the judge.
And the judge.
Yeah.
Who's on that? Who's on that decision team?
A county judge, county commissioner, and supervisor of art in Florida. Yeah. And people come to those public meetings. And they'll literally stand behind our chairs and they'll watch us.
Hmm.
What our decisions being made.
And while that's happening too, we've already conducted outreach to the voter to let them know that their signature has been referred. And that way they could possibly send us a cure for that, which is an affidavit which requires a copy of an ID and then a signature on it.
Yeah.
So in 2016, I voted by mail, and I got a letter back from the Lee County Supervisor of Elections saying, here, your vote was rejected. Yeah, they didn't even reach out to me and say, hey, your vote's in question.
That may not have been in law then. I don't remember when that became law, but it's called Cure Your Ballot.
Okay.
And we're required that within like 24 hours to send you a letter with an affidavit and give you instructions on how to do that. Then you have until 5 o'clock on Thursday after election day to cure the ballot.
Yeah.
I think it was in 18 that started when we could actually cure it.
Yeah. Good. Maybe they got my email. They were like, that's a good idea.
We send everybody a letter after the election whose ballot was rejected. And if it was rejected because of signature and they did not cure it, then they still get another letter that says, and we include a voter registration application form and we ask them to fill that page.
Yeah. I'm going to update my signature. Mm-hmm. Just based on what you shared with me now, I'm going to make my signature unique.
If you look at your driver's license and you sign, that's usually...
Yeah. But I always sign with my initials. And I think I had like spelled out my name on the voter registration because when I signed it, I just put my initials and sent it off because even signed checks. I just maybe I shouldn't say that, but yeah.
They don't care how you sign some checks anymore. Yeah, right. It doesn't look at that.
Oh really?
But they we always encourage people, especially right before an election, to update their voter registration, their signature. Especially during the vote by mail. But also keep in mind, too, that there are documents, especially if you're an active voter, which it sounds like you are, that they will keep. And if we need to compare it to it, like, we don't automatically reject on the first one. We'll look in your file and say, okay, is there another one that matches, whether it's someone who signs their initials. I know I do a P. Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do a P.R. Robertson. Sometimes I spell my whole name out. So I know that Lee County has multiple signatures on file that they can compare to, and I haven't had any issues, thankfully. Cool.
Yeah, she lives in Lee County.
We'll see.
Okay, so right. Now we're going to introduce you to our operator back here in the high-speed mail sorter.
All right, we're going to take a look at the high-speed mail sorter.
These things go out to every early voting location.
Jennifer, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
These go out to the early voting locations with supplies and equipment, which includes printers to print the ballots at the early voting locations. Every live ballot lives in a cage, and they have special locks, and only certain staff members have keys to these locks.
And what are these for?
Ballots, live ballots. And we also put our mail codes in these locks. So once we finish with the sorting over here, the trays of ballots go in a cage that's locked and it has a cover because primaries are in August and it rains. And we wheel them across the parking lot and put them in the elevator and take them up to our vote by mail area. Okay, so come on in.
You take it off?
In a minute, yeah. They're done with their toilet.